Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to episode 34 of Fresh From The Scene. First things first, if you enjoy today's episode, I would love it if you could give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you leave a review, I'll shout out all of you who do to say thanks. And let's not forget the massive impact that sharing this podcast on social media will have. Remember to tag a friend who you think might also enjoy it. So, this podcast is one of my life's simple pleasures, and every time I get to record an interview, I always think, fuck yeah, because it's always good to let the good times roll. Just a side note, I won't ever apologise for these puns, and if you can't accept that, maybe you should stop being so uptight. And that's right, let's get on with this week's guest, Max Tanner from Blackwaters, on episode 34 of Fresh From The Scene.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the fantastic Max Tanner from Blackwaters. That's your cue.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Nice to finally have you on. Blackwaters is one of the bands that I kind of wanted to get on when I started the podcast, but, you know, just through process of events going on, I finally got around to you. So hello and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, so I normally start these podcasts off with a question to just kind of get it going. So in your own words, how would you describe Blackwaters to someone that's never heard you?
Someone who's never heard us? Well, I'm not sure. We've been a band since we were 16. I guess the sound has changed throughout. But I think there'll always be something that somebody can enjoy, you know, because we have gone through a couple stages, there's always something that you can be into, I think. So, you know, we're fun live band, you know, don't want to sell ourselves too highly, but
yeah, I was trying to convince a friend to come and see you when I saw you last, which was Leeds Fest, and I was just kind of like,
oh yeah,
live is a band, like, you need to see this band live, like, that is definitely the best stepping on point.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, she ended up coming along and enjoyed you, and mission accomplished, basically.
Leeds Fest. Yeah. 2019.
I know, such a long time ago, whilst also feeling like it was last year, you know, based on
silly
events.
Honestly.
So who are Blackwaters then? So there's obviously yourself.
Yeah, sorry, excuse me. There's me. The four of us all met at college when we were 16. And we've kind of been the same lineup ever since, which is quite rare, I suppose. But yeah, it's myself, Ollie, James, and David. And we all met just in a lecture playing Kings of Leon. Really, really cool cover. And then we just said, let's form the band. So it kind of came out of that.
Yeah, out of curiosity, which Kings of Leon song was it?
Well, it was, you know, we had to do it. It was like an assignment, so we have to rearrange the song, or, you know, do it in our own style, and it was just You Somebody, you know, big one that everyone knew. And but yeah, it was cool. We did like the Beatles and like some cool soul tunes as well, Stevie Wonder, and so expect a soul Blackwaters record.
That would be fun. But yeah, so obviously, yeah, you know, at the start of this year you've had the two shows, All Blue Last and Gullivers. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk me through those, you know, like how were they after, you know, obviously you had the little tour at the end of last year to celebrate the album coming out, but, you know, these two new shows, obviously Manchester and London, very big.
Yeah.
How were they?
They were really good. Yeah. It was, I mean, after playing, because the tour we did straight after the album, that was really, really fun. That was the first tour since like COVID times, and it was just so good to be back on it and stuff. And but yeah, those two standalone shows, they were great. We've got a synth player now who comes on stage with us and does all the songs. But yeah, they were really fun, really fun. I think London slightly overrode the Manchester show, but only by a bit. But yeah, it was super fun, really good. Yeah.
I mean, they're both like legendary venues in their own right, you know, All Blue Last, you know, the bands that have played in that venue, you know. some of them too like big to actually visualize seeing in that venue. Gulliver as well, being legendary in Manchester's music scene. You know, two good venues to have like as one-off shows.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, you have got this tour that's starting in August this year. And then, you know, you finish in Sheffield, you come into Leeds, which is going to be fun. I got tickets for the Oporto show.
Awesome.
What can people expect from this tour that's coming up at the end of the year? Well, middle of the year.
I think one thing is when we did the last tour, it was so new. You know, it's like the first time we'd had all these new songs in years, actually. Like, because we'd always kind of played the same set and just added singles. So I think, like, we've got used to these tunes now, and like we're able to, because before we were kind of, you know, although we'd rehearsed and stuff, we couldn't give the audience as much because it still felt fresh. So I think, you know, I just think it will kind of be stepped up a level and expect some new songs as well. So you know, just more the same stuff, but new tunes and old, if you like the old ones, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like sometimes as well when you are like playing new stuff, you kind of have to, in inverted commas, like honor it. So like you've got to play it the way that, you know, it's supposed to sound. Whereas like obviously once people are a bit more familiar with it, you can start having even more fun with it and like, you know, throwing in like random like weights for like building up anticipation, crowd hype and stuff. Whereas I obviously, like I was saying, the first time people are going to hear it, you kind of want them to hear it, you know, as it's
that's something. Yeah, which is why we wanted to get Dalian on the synthesizer, because yeah, you know, we could recreate it using a backing track, but it felt right, you know, more right. And also it's just cooler to have it live and being played and all that stuff.
It also allows for a lot more chaos when you've actually got someone there playing it live.
Yeah,
it's on the backing track and something goes wrong, you know, like it's obvious, but like if there's someone playing it there and something goes wrong, you can stop it, or like you can play up into it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was a really nice addition, I think. Like,
yeah, I know a band that like they are inherently a four piece, but when they've been doing a couple of recent shows, they've just got a session guitarist to come in and, you know, like play it. And it just gives, like, the singer generally plays guitar, but like in these shows they've been using the session guitarist, and it just gives him a bit more freedom to, you know, express himself on stage and be more energetic and be up with the crowd, because, you know, he's not being tied down by, you know, needing to be close enough to an amp to actually have a jacket working and stuff like that. So it is a very, you know, a good and liberating idea to have you know, like you say, synth player coming in or guitarist or whatever.
I think especially when they're your mates as well, like,
yeah,
you know, because we haven't just got any old iron to come in, like we've actually, he's a good friend, so it's nice.
It's like expanding the family almost.
Exactly.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, like you're ending the I want to call it an autumn tour in Sheffield. It's obviously a city that's, you know, very important to you guys. It's, you know, you're based in Guildford, am I right?
We formed in Guildford, but yeah, we live in Sheffield now, which is quite mad, but somehow.
But yeah, like obviously ending the tour in Sheffield is obviously going to be a bit like a, you know, homecoming, especially. Are you like obviously the whole tour is going to be exciting, but like, are you holding out something special for that show?
I don't know. I mean, it depends. We often come up with that kind of thing really late notice. Like, I remember for our last Sheffield show, we had a saxophonist. We had Jared from Avalanche Party come and join us for like a tune, play a saxophone. I'm at an open mic event on Wednesday, and we saw this violinist. Yeah,
that sounds like the right word.
Yeah, it is. It just sounds good. He was performing, and we were like, oh, we've got to get this guy to jump on with us at the Sheffield date, funnily enough. So maybe we are prioritizing it a little bit, but you know, it's always good playing where you live and I suppose and where your friends are. So
Yeah, it always brings up like the warmer vibes in the audience as well.
And definitely,
People that know what to expect from being in the crowd and stuff and can mm-hmm. get even more involved. And, you know, like there'll be random deep cuts that, you know, only they know and that guess.
Be surprised, though. Be surprised. Like sometimes we play shows and this can sometimes like annoy bands, actually. Like when we can't just kind of like play shows, but then the audience are just kind of, I'm not sure. I guess you can never really expect how an audience will react to your music, but sometimes if they're just like kids or something, they just want to fucking jump around and shove each other about, do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
then the music will die and they'll still be moshing and they'll be like, ha, well, you're not here for us, are you? You're just here to like, you know, fucking jump around.
Yeah, but I mean, that reminds me of the first time I saw you guys was a This Feeling gig back in 2017, I want to say. Like you came out, I think it was Fuck Yeah you were doing, and like, you know, your stage presence is something to behold. And there was, I think, someone in the front row that just kind of was visibly not there for you. But like, you obviously were like, all right, cool, it's all right, mate, don't worry. But like, you know, there was a point where it was just kind of like, am I at the wrong gig for that person? Which was,
Yeah.
Do you find that happens quite a bit sometimes?
I don't know. I mean, you sometimes get people kind of stood at the front on their phones. That's quite strange. Like, it's one thing whether you address that kind of thing or not, but we don't really seem to get that often. And I think when people do like come to a show, they want to dance, they want to move about, you know. So it's not too many like standstill Charlies around, but it does happen.
Standstill Charlie, that is amazing.
Yeah.
So I want to obviously talk about Something Good in Lost Time, the debut Blackwater's record. I've got 3 copies of it, actually, because I've got 2 versions of the CD, but I also got the vinyl.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for buying it. I appreciate it.
I mean, you know, it was a great album and worth the wait for the vinyl. You know, like obviously Adele decided to buy up more versions of her album that actually was necessary. I wonder if you still got like boxes and boxes of them, like, you know, in a catalogue somewhere. It came out November 2021. It was in my top 5 records of 2021.
Thank you, but
I very much enjoyed it. A lot of people mentioned it was a bit of a departure from like the more punky style. You know, what kind of like inspired this record, and like, you know, what were the kind of things you were listening to at the time when you were making it?
Well, what inspired it was certainly like, I mean, lockdown was pretty wild for us. I mean, like, we split with our manager. You know, we basically just ended up being completely by ourselves for like the first time in 3 years, which was quite a shock for me personally. I know, like, I was kind of affected by it, but obviously kind of didn't want to show that. I was very much like, oh no, you know, I'm all right, you know, we'll be fine, blah blah blah. But I guess that kind of that that was the stuff that I was writing about was because of that, I suppose. So Something Good in Lost Time, the title, came from that whole whirlwind we had of when we were like a 16 to 18 year old punk band, you know, just being thrown on these tours with like, you know, the Libs, Killing Joke and all of that, and then kind of being out by yourselves after all of that. It just came as a bit of a shock, but Something Good and Lost Time came out of that, and you know, I think it was quite a beautiful outcome of a sticky situation.
And is there anything else you can tell me about like the other songs on the record? Like obviously Can You Swim, I guess kind of is a bit like what you were just saying, like being and ending up on your own, like can you keep going on your own, stuff like mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, totally. You know, it's just all about the first lyric is you're the center of the world that you walk. And it's just, yeah, I suppose it's just a song like, yeah, I am fucking good enough. Yeah, I can do this, you know. And I'll kind of support my mates around me. And yeah, it's just about keeping it positive, I think, because it's so hard in this industry to like let false promises kind of get you down, or like, you know, We had so many times when people would say something and then, you know, either it never happened or, you know, you get stars in your eyes.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to get you to support this massive, like, venue and stuff. And then, you know,
yeah.
Like that, they're like, all right, cool. So when is it happening? And like, oh, one day.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, we're like, we kind of make your own luck, you know, I guess.
Yeah. So the other thing I kind of want to say then is, like, obviously, I did mention the departure from the punky style, but that you kind of had with, like, you know, a lot of the songs, like, People Street EP, like, the choruses were always kind of, like, a phrase for, like, the entire chorus, like, you know, fuck yeah, you know, like, the good times roll
down,
and all of that.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, this record has a lot more, like, songwriting style to it. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of lyricism going on, and a bit, you know, more like storytelling-y style stuff. Like, what kind of brought about that change? Were you just kind of a bit tired of writing, you know, the high energy, you know, fasty stuff and wanted to change, or, you know, was it just that was the way the songs came?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard question, because we'll always love bringing the energy live no matter what we're playing, but like for me, I mean, I certainly wanted to show off, like, the fact, you know, I never kind of intended to, like with Fuck Yeah, for example, like, if people would tell me that, you know, that was one of our songs like 5 years ago, I'd be like, no, I can't, you know, shout through a song or whatever. So it was just nice to be able to sing again, you know, and like, yeah, and be really honest with my lyrics, and yeah, it just felt good. I guess that's kind of why I want to do this, because like, there's no point taking it all too seriously for anybody anymore. Just kind of, you know, enjoy it and write what you want. People kind of get on with it, and that's fantastic. Yeah,
I mean, I was having this conversation with someone the other day, actually. Like, you know, as long as the music you're writing is music that you want to be writing, it doesn't really matter, you know, how it sounds, where it fits in with everything else. You know,
totally.
write whatever you want, and if people catch on to that and enjoy it, great. But as long as you also enjoy it yourself, that's the part that's, you know, the most important.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So obviously there's also the song on the album, Home Is Where the Heart Is, which was recorded live on Ecky Road. Was it always the plan to do it live? Like, that song is very obviously like about, you know, the, you know, where it is and all of that. You know, is Ecky Road home? Is Ecky Road where the heart is?
Yeah, I mean, we used to, so me and the guys lived together for like 6 years, all in total, and you know, Ecky Road's where we lived in Sheffield. We don't live there anymore, but so yeah, we thought it was just a good homage to like where we were kind of all together in this house, and it's written about our yard parties and how like kind of wild and delirious they seem to us now. So yeah, I suppose it was where the heart is, you know, so to speak.
Was it always the plan though to do it like live, a live recording of it on the actual street?
No, we had like a band, you know, full band,
yeah,
version. I do that because louder, you know. Yeah, so no, it wasn't always the plan, but I think David suggested, oh, why don't we, because, you know, it looks cool and all that, putting live from Ecky Road. And
but yeah, speaking of David, obviously the album itself is mixed by him. You know, do you think, like, obviously it's all basically almost all done in-house, you know, which gives you guys like so much control over the way that you can sound. You know, is that like a strength of Black Waters? Like I say, by having control over it, you don't need to then be like, you know, a record label being like, oh yeah, please, can you like come up with a different way of doing this song? Like,
yeah, well, I mean, it was a blessing and a curse, because we used to do our stuff with this guy called Thomas Mitchell.
Oh yeah, I know Mitch. I've had him on before.
There you go, Mitch, your first nickname bassist. Yeah, so we used to do stuff with him, and then like lockdown hit, and basically just, you know, well, we couldn't afford him anymore, and also our demos sounded fantastic, and Dave did them. So we were like, fuck it, let's try this by ourselves. We kind of learned we don't need this, we don't need beautiful studios really to make something that we can appreciate and we think other people are going to like. So yeah, I was really, really chuffed with how it turned out. It took a long time. Like, that's one thing I would say is, like, going into a studio and getting a certain amount of time can put a good kind of pressure on musicians to, finish the master plan. But, we got it done eventually. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, when there is obviously that, you're paying for studio time, it's like, all right, cool, we've got to get it done in this time. But when, like, you actually have the studio and, the recording, like, the recording stuff and all of that yourself, it's like...
Bedroom, yeah.
Well, we can get it done. We'll get it done. It's cool, fine, no worries, no pressure.
Yeah, exactly. It was very much like that. We did an EP in 3 days once, and that was like... I remember getting up to do my vocal and it was like Youth who was producing it was like, all right, you got a day to do like all the vocals, or like half a day even. And it's just like so much pressure. So yeah, I felt better.
And I mean, it's like, if you blow your voice out during that, that just then like delays the project entirely. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas if it's at home, I can go and have a bath or something. Do you know what I mean?
So. Yeah. get some honey and lemon or a nice cup of oat milk tea. So the album was obviously mastered by Tom Woodhead, worked with Cribs, Area 11, Marzikans. What made you decide to go with Tom?
Well, he was recommended to us by a manager because he worked with him. And then we just ended up really clicking with him, and he's just fantastic. Like, he really, really gives a shit, I think, about whoever he's got in. Yeah, he was just brilliant to work with. He's got such a good ear for new ideas as well, and he was always making suggestions. He was super fun to work with. Yeah. I'd love to do it again. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're working on new music. Maybe doing it again in the future is certainly a thing.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
But is there anything you can tell me about the new music, or is it still like in early days?
We've got a lot demoed this year, which is really great. We've got a new song coming out soon that we just need to announce. We're just kind of sitting on the announcement, so we just exclusive. It's really good fun. We're not putting any pressure on ourselves, but we know that we want to. We want to step on with releasing the second album and keeping the energy there. I think one thing with the album that we're working on is, we want to get people moving, but I also want to be singing, not shouting. So it's like, it's a happy medium that we're trying to achieve. Yeah.
I obviously mentioned you played Reading and Leeds 2019. A lot of artists, want to be playing those massive festivals and stuff. And obviously it was the introducing stage, but what was that like, playing Reading and Leeds as long ago as it was?
It was awesome. And we got a really, I remember it because we got really good receptions at both festivals. Like, I don't know, it's really weird. I find it really kind of hard to like appreciate those times when they're happening. Obviously it was awesome, but like, I think hindsight, it's more beautiful because we got to, I got to play Reading and Leeds with like my best friends. It's like really cool. And for us to like kind of have this mentality of we're just doing it to have a good time and not take our lives seriously and just want to be creatives, it's even better, because it's just a really nice achievement. I don't think too much about Reading and Leeds in particular. Every show he plays a blessing, but like, of course, it's a huge festival, and it was just a nice time.
I'm going to use that to move on to the quick fire round, which I use to sort of like wrap up shows and stuff. But the first question just happened to be like Reading or Leeds, but just to pre-warn you, they're mostly A or B. The last two ones are a bit more open ended. And you just, say the answer. So
let's do it.
Reading or Leeds?
Reading.
Reading. MIDI instruments or real instruments?
Real instruments. That's hard.
Yeah. Tiny intimate gigs or like the bigger, academy style ones?
Academy style. Bigger gigs. I want to say academy style.
Bigger gigs. Pro Tools or Logic?
Logic.
Streaming or physical music?
I'm going to say physical. Yeah.
Yeah. Love me some physical music.
Me too.
Bedroom or studio? Studio.
Bedroom. If the magic happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Song on repeat at the minute.
1995 by Molly Nelson. Yeah.
I might have to check that out after this.
Definitely should.
Yes. An album of 2022 so far.
Arcade Fire's new record, We. I've been banging that out quite a lot.
Nice.
Love it.
So that's the quick fire round. So,
awesome.
Whilst I've got you, is there anything you want to plug? Where can people find Black Waters? Anything you want to shout out? All of that jazz?
Check out our debut album. We've got a tour coming up later in the year. We're happy to be here. Come hang out with us. I don't know. All that jazz, you know.
All that jazz.
Have a beautiful year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, people should definitely get themselves down to any of the tour dates, whichever one's closest to them. You're covering quite a lot of the UK, so, there'll be a show for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait, to be honest. It's true. No excuses.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Max, for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Ruby.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I do hope you enjoyed that. If you did, please consider taking less than 5 minutes to leave a review and give this podcast a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, or you can find me on the socials at Rubes, that's RUUBEZ, or possibly RUUBEZ001. Just depends on what platform you get to. You'll figure it out. With any luck, I'll be back next week with another episode and another guest. But until then, I've been Ruby Price, and this was Fresh from the Scene. Thank you very much, and goodbye.